Number 8. Opposite Lynn's.
So hopefully you sat opposite Lynn's. If not, then pop over onto that bench if you can. Because here's someone I want you to meet.
Hello, my name's Colm. I'm the funeral director for AEW Lynn and I service the funerals for the families and the people of Ollerton and the surrounding area. It was a television show. In the early 2000s, there was a television show on ITV called Don't Drop the Coffin. It followed Barry Albin and Sons funeral directors in London. And what attracted me to the work was what we do behind the scenes, putting the funeral together, talking to the family, finding out what it is that they would like for a funeral service, and putting that day together and making that day special for them. And making sure that things go as smoothly as possible for the family. I was very lucky to go to a school in Mansfield that really encouraged us to think about and apply for placements in things we wanted to do. I sent letters to a couple of local funeral directors. AEW Lynn were the people that wrote back, and that's where it started. So it was 2007. I remember it well. It was the 2nd of July, because the first job that I had to do was put stickers in the limousine to say people couldn't smoke in there. Not that they used to smoke in there anyway, but it was the day of the smoking ban in 2007. So that was the very first thing I did. I worked there for a week. I then came back through the 6 week summer holidays and I would work at Christmas and in the summer holidays, helping carry coffins into the chapel, helping the coffin department lining the coffins. And then in 2011, I left school and I worked full time. It's an unusual one, certainly. And I still find this even now, if you, telling someone what I do as a job will start or stop a conversation. You know, it is an unusual choice, but seeing people from school, having looked after families of people that I went to school with, to see me, you know, sort of 10 plus years since I left school, still doing the job that I told them I was going to do, you know, it's quite nice to have those conversations. And they'll say, oh, you always said you were going to do that, you know, and that's brilliant, you know. So I was lucky in some respects from a very young age to have found what I wanted to do. People's attitudes are starting to change and become a bit more modern. We are beginning to open up that talk about death and the finality of it. And the fact that even the short time I've been in the profession, you know, 11 years is still not a long time. People's attitudes to making a funeral more personal. And actually, you know, what used to be a one-size-fits-all sort of funeral service, we have the most wonderful ways of making a funeral personal to a family now, right down to the sort of vehicles. Would the family like horses? We even offer an armoured tank in order for people to have that final journey. At one time, you might have said the option was Catholic or Church of England, you know, or another faith. Now we have civil funeral celebrants who start with a blank piece of paper and construct a personalised funeral service to focus on the person that's passed away and your reflection to your relationship to them. There'll always be a family that will surprise you and ask for something that you have to go and find. And that means that no 2 days in my line of work are ever the same. We as a company do have a genuine London Routemaster bus, and I'm amazed at how often that goes out and gets used, because people have connections to it. They're either enthusiasts, they spent time in London on buses like that, they may have gone to work and drive those buses in a previous career, or one of the companies outside of our own firm is a Robin Regal three-wheeler to reflect Only Fools and Horses, and that's how it's done. So it's the car in the front, and then there's another frame that's on the back, and the coffin goes in there, and it looks fantastic. We are steeped in mining history in Ollerton. I meet lots of people that are of Ollerton, lots of people that originate from the northeast of England, and even further north up to Scotland as well. And therefore, you know, the funeral services do reflect that. I find already sitting with families that either they worked directly in the mine, they were associated to it, they had a relative who worked there, they were married to someone who worked there, you know, and we are still very much in that sense of a mining community. And people do come together at those difficult times. It's not unusual to see lots of the same faces. Some people may have a tie or a pin badge that reflects the colliery that they worked for. Occasionally we'll be asked to place funeral flowers at the mining man statue just on the corner of the cemetery there. And it means that people may, as they drive in and out of Ollerton for a couple of days, they might see those flowers and reflect upon the person or know that it was a miner that had passed away. The funeral profession is the profession that likes to say yes. And as soon as the pandemic hit, we had to become the profession that said no. And that's not what a family wants to hear when they're suffering a bereavement. And that was tremendously difficult. One thing that many places did, Ollerton in particular, was the route taken from the house to the church or the house to the crematorium. People would stand outside. We were publishing on our website and families were publishing on social media the route that we would take. And that was tremendously moving on a number of occasions to see people stood outside paying their respects. People from the shops here on Sherwood Drive would ask me if a funeral was going past. They didn't even want to know whose funeral it was, but they wanted the family in those cars, those 10 mourners that were allowed to attend, they wanted to see that solidarity was being shown. And I think that was a very admirable thing, on occasion, a very emotional thing for me to see. And that's difficult because you see emotional things all the time, but you have to try not to show that emotion to support the family. My coping mechanism is that, and this is the same for a lot of funeral directors, it's not my grief, it's the grief of the family. And by being dependable and reliable and having a bit of distance, of course we care for the family and we show that, but by being to a certain extent detached from the grief, we're able to perform our duties. And that comes with experience. You know, there's always going to be something that trips you up. There'll always be a funeral or a funeral service or something that happens where actually, you know, you think, oh, you know, that really was quite beautiful. You know, we're not shut off from the emotion, but you have ways and means of coping in order to make sure that we can do our job as well as possible for every family that walks through the door.
We're going to keep heading back the way we came now, back onto the path that runs alongside the railway track. And I'm going to talk to you a bit more as you're walking, because it's nice to speak to someone different. You can just switch me off if I'm going on too much and you just want some peace and quiet after all this listening you've been doing. Just make sure you turn me back on when you get all the way back to the railway bridge. It's straight on. All right. Back along the side of Tesco's with the old pit tip that's greened over off to your left. Back through those green railings, across Darwin Drive and on through the playground, or around the playground. Just make sure you walk right to the very end of the path that goes around the outside of the playground. Otherwise, you might find yourself getting back onto the path alongside the train track in a slightly different way, which is all right, as long as you get on it and head back towards that bridge. Come on then, unless you're on the move already. Who are you anyway? Not that you can tell me, of course. I reckon you're probably older than me. Maybe not, but I reckon so. Maybe you live here, or maybe you're visiting. I might know you, I might not. You might be one of those who came here all those years ago from Durham or Scotland when their pits shut. Or maybe you're Polish. There are a lot of you round here if you are. My granddad has Polish mates, and there were quite a few at my school, and Italians too. My great-grandsister married an Italian, so I've nearly got a little bit of Italian blood in me, which is probably why I like ice cream so much. Maybe you're from another country. There's lots of different people here now, from all over, and that's going to keep on happening. Maybe you go to my gran's knit and natter group at the Methodist Church. Knitting things for charity, and telling all sorts of stories to each other. Or you're in the WI and joined in with the tree planting at the Pit Top Woods to celebrate your 100th anniversary. 100 oaks! Maybe you're part of the crime reading group at the library, who I reckon are secretly planning some massive heist. Maybe you work at Clipper, or there, in Tesco's behind the tills, or stocking up the tins of beans and boxes of cereal. Or you're one of the kids that hang around near the entrance, because there's not much to do round here. Maybe you were at the Ollerton Picture Palace when Gracie Fields came and sang for a charity performance. Maybe you know so much about Ollerton that it should be you doing all this talking and not me. Or maybe you don't know anything about this place at all, and I could tell you anything and you believe me. Like the other day, that toddler at the Lego Club made a gigantic Lego chicken that was so lifelike it laid a Lego chicken egg. Maybe you're someone like me, who doesn't really know what they want to do with their lives and would rather just listen to the stories of other people, because there's enough life that's been lived already to keep us all entertained. And I like it here. You can tell from the people I've spoken to, it's got a really good spirit. And now nature's coming back to cover up the scars from the mining. Dad said that he felt hopeful that everything would turn out all right when the skylarks started arriving, as they planted the seed for the new grasslands. That if we could only find some better jobs and sort the train, and make sure we never forget that we're always better together than when we try and muddle through on our own, that you may as well live here as anywhere else. All right, I'll shut up. But let's meet again by the railway bridge. I've got another story for you, if you want, for the journey. This one is set in the 50s and the 60s and is called Rockin'. If it's still playing when you get to the bridge, then you know what to do. Wait until it's over and go to the next track.
Johnny Ray it was on that opening night. It was unbelievable. He ran around and put his hands through his hair and cried his bloody heart out all over the stage. I was sitting on the front row and I screamed throughout the whole thing. And I wasn't the only one. Couldn't hear a word he sang all night long. The entertainment's manager couldn't believe what was going on. No wonder Johnny Ray's got that bloody massive hearing aid strapped round his tab, he said. We'd been queuing round the block for hours beforehand. The blokes with their velvet-edged Italian jackets, drain pipes wrapped round their legs all the way down to their winkle pickers. And us girls with our ponytails and petticoats and heels that could scar a man for life. Our little village suddenly having acts like Frankie Vaughan and Lulu and the Lovers. Could hardly believe it. And some weren't too happy when the new welfare went up, with the bandstand and the bowling green going. But it was a dream come true for me. The Palladium of the Midlands. The old welfare had been this little galvanised building where my father was part of the ambulance team, who won all sorts of trophies. We couldn't do a thing at home unless it had been through one of his safety checks. Systems, he used to say. Without them, you're sunk. Just because you think you know how something works doesn't mean it can't jump round and kill you. It had got so bad that we had to take whistles into the bathroom with us in case we found ourselves in any unexpected difficulty, and it drove my mum mad. But I blocked their endless squabbles out with music. Skiffle at first and then rock and roll. And if I wasn't listening, I was singing. Sitting at the egg farm, sexing the chickens in the hatchery, belting out, "Wake up, little Susie." All the girls going one way, heading for a life of laying, and the boys going another. The odd few to enjoy the life of a cockbird, while the others were gassed and sent off for the owls and the zoos. And to be honest, my singing caused some arguments at work. Because it's a highly skilled job trying to sex a chick. You have to really concentrate. A third of Europe's eggs Mr. Eastwood was producing, with this farm and the others he had around the country. If your chick sexers got it all wrong, you could end up with 60,000 cockbirds and a global return to powdered eggs. And as soon as I was out of work, I was dancing. Bradshaw's class on Monday and Wednesday evenings in the school hall. Friday was dance night at the welfare. Saturday night, we headed to Edwinstowe. and then back here for the Sunday rendezvous. Sometimes it seemed that the whole village used to dance. Even my father did once, but not anymore. If it was up to him, he said, there would be a ban on any woman in the village wearing stiletto heels. He had us all out in his workshop one evening and swung one with as much force as he could muster into a specially constructed dummy that he used to practice bandaging on and who we called Sticky. There, he said, I rest my case. I wrapped my heels in a plastic bag after that and hid them in the cistern. And one day I went to see a band at the carpenter's. Ricky Satan and the Devil Men, they were called. All done up in red. They were just fantastic, doing all these rock and roll songs that I loved. I got talking to them when it was over, and it turned out they were all local lads, most of them electricians' apprentices who decided to give it a go after winning a skiffle competition at Butlin's. And I knew the big time was approaching for them. It had to be. Everybody in Ollerton worked on machines all day, or dug coal and then went home to parents that argued. And here was Ricky Satan and the Devil Men, striking out for those of us who thought there had to be more to life than this. And I started to practice my songs. All Dusty Springfield, even at work, where I'd been moved from the hatchery and was now eviscerating chickens. Because as soon as they'd finished one lay cycle, Mr. Eastwood couldn't afford to keep them until they started laying again. I mean, where would he have put them all? Because it was absolutely massive. 50 or 60 sheds with 50-odd thousand chickens in each. Not that they all had to be eviscerated at once, of course. That would have been mayhem. It was all done in stages. Some were coming up to lay in, some were dropping the eggs, and the others were killed through electric shock, eviscerated, plucked, put in bags and frozen solid. All within minutes. Like a summer rose needs the sun and rain, I need your sweet love to beat all the pain, and all those other lovely words being belted out. The others didn't mind, although they wouldn't allow me to sing any song more than three times a day. And then, one evening, I came back from work, and my uncle was sitting in the living room. I've got some news for you, young lady, he said. I've had a word with the entertainment committee, and they want you to go down there and do a bit of a song for them. They're thinking of putting on a couple of local girls as support for when they book their next big act. For the next week, I couldn't eat a thing. And when it was time to go, I was in a bit of a tizzy because I hadn't been able to get one of my stilettos out of the cistern. But on the way, I met Ricky Satan, who was actually called Ron, and he told me they'd been offered the chance to play at American Air Force bases in Germany and Turkey. It was a sign. I knew it was. We were all going places. I started with, I only want to be with you, which had gone very well, and was about to launch into Take Another Little Piece of My Heart, when a voice said, that's enough, love, thank you. They were very nice about it, telling me they had people coming from all over, that it was a much bigger operation than before, that they had standards to keep. Cried my flipping eyes out on the way home. God knows what I must have looked like with the amount of mascara I had on. But that wasn't the end of it. I met Mum at the door with her shopping, and before she had a chance to console me, we discovered the cistern had flooded and the ceiling was a right mess. I had to confess, but she promised me that when Dad got back, she wouldn't say anything about the stiletto. But Dad didn't get back. He'd been down the pit helping with an accident and had broken his leg and a couple of his ribs and was taken to hospital. He'd saved somebody's life. They put me on packing, which was better than eviscerating or sexing chicks. I didn't bother trying to become a big star after that. I realised I couldn't sing that well anyway. Ricky Satan and the Devil Men didn't follow the Beatles and tour US Army bases. One of the band said he didn't want to give up his apprenticeship, and that was that. He went on to become one of the deputy electrical engineers. The band finished a few years later. I kept in touch with their drummer, and he ended up making his mark anyway, getting into the Guinness Book of Records by scoring 1,000,001 at darts in under 26 hours. There were two of them. They'd been practicing for a year. Endurance and speed were the main attributes, apparently. He had to have a proper medical before he started. It was my dad that did it. I still listen to Dusty, though. Oh, yes. And they're still knocking out those eggs like you wouldn't believe, though I left a long time ago. It's been all right, though. It really has.
That's it. You can go to the next track now. If you're there, of course. Otherwise, meet you at the bridge.